Welcome to China Watch. I'm your host, Terry Wu. Come with me to take a peek behind the Chinese curtain. I grew up in China, graduated from Tsinghua University in Beijing, studied, lived, and worked in America for decades, and brought up a family here with my European husband. We talk about China affairs at our dinner table all the time. That still leaves me a lot more to cover in this podcast. Can you believe that? In this episode, we'll discuss how fentanyl fits in the communist China's endgame with America. Fentanyl overdose has gotten so bad now. My experience is that almost everyone knows someone who has lost a loved one in the family to fentanyl. A son or a daughter, a niece or nephew. Being a reporter, I have interviewed parents who lost their kids. I have to say, the sorrow in their eyes and their soul is unmistakable, and the deep pain that their lives would never be the same. Today, we'll talk about how fentanyl has anything to do with China. Now, you may tell me, well, I know China produces most of the chemical ingredients used for illicit fentanyl production in Mexico, and President Trump has imposed tariffs on Canada, Mexico, and China to reduce fentanyl inflow to the United States. You're right. Hence, these tariffs are called fentanyl tariffs. Trump has imposed 20% additional since day one. In response, Beijing has retaliated with some tariffs on U.S. coal, natural gas, and agricultural products. Now, the communist regime has called fentanyl the U.S. own problem and said that U.S. tariffs are blackmail. They said, why are you punishing us for helping you? Because they said, we have counter-narcotics programs with you, United States. We're helping you, but you are punishing us for helping you. However, is that really the case? Basically, the CCP's tone to the U.S. is, why are you blaming us? This is your own weakness and your self-inflicted wound. Is fentanyl America's self-inflicted wound? The reality is far from that. To fully explain that, we need to go back to the mid-19th century. As you know, when we analyze problems of people, we always have to go back to their childhood. Now, China was in the last leg of its imperial period. The Qing Dynasty was defeated in two opium wars. The result of these wars was that China legalized opium and ceded control of territories and ports to Western powers. Now, Chinese Communist Party's history books call the opium wars the beginning of China's century of humiliation. Even though America wasn't the leading force during those wars, Britain and France were. It didn't matter. The CCP's hatred needed to find a perfect historical narrative to lock in an enemy. That's what I knew before a Chinese scholar, Yuan Hongbing, revealed more about Xi's and CCP's strategy about fentanyl. You may not have heard of Yuan Hongbing. He's quite famous in the Chinese diaspora and was also renowned before he left China in 2004. He used to be a law professor in Beijing University, and he and Xi used to be drinking buddies. Before Xi rose to the top and moved to Beijing, he was a provisional level official in Fujian, a province near Taiwan. So when he visited Beijing, the two used to drink alcohol together. You may wonder why. Because, well, back then, Yuan was very well connected on the central party level, and Xi was getting intel and learning from him. The drinking gatherings offered Yuan a unique opportunity to learn about what Xi had on his mind before the access to that man was closed off when he rose to top. Now, Yuan kept his contacts inside Beijing after he moved to Australia. According to this law professor, the Chinese regime played a hand in America's fentanyl crisis. Blaming the United States for it has long been the party leader Xi Jinping's strategy. She has consistently given internal directives during both Trump's first and second terms that Beijing must insist that the drug crisis in Europe and the United States are not linked to China. The regime she directed must also insist that China makes the chemical precursors legally, and if they are converted into drugs and smuggled into the United States or Europe, it's not China's fault. But what's the reality? Yuan said that fentanyl is at the core of Xi's bid to take revenge on the West. According to Yuan, she thinks the West subjected China to a century of humiliation since the Opium Wars in the mid-19th century. Now is the time to get back at the West and give them their own medicine, fentanyl for opium. That is the thinking. And so Yuan told us, it is precisely due to Xi's directives that we're now seeing a dramatic increase in both the production of fentanyl precursors in China and the export of these chemicals, fueling the ongoing fentanyl crisis in the United States. This is a pilot episode of China Watch. If you like it, please help us spread the word. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, on our Epoch Times website. Check out the show notes for more details about this episode. Okay, so now you already know how fentanyl is at the core of the CCP strategy against the USA. However, I want to say a little bit more about the hatred. Why in CCP's playbook does America make a perfect enemy? In the past decade, China saw significant economic growth. Its nominal GDP is now over three quarters of the United States. When measured by purchasing power, China's GDP actually already surpassed the United States in 2016. Xi rose to the top position within the party in late 2012 and took over leadership of China the following year. So remember the year 2017 and 2016. 2017 is when Beijing knew that its GDP in purchasing power surpassed the U.S. Therefore, the communists in China were celebrating. They were very optimistic. And according to China expert Alex Liao, his insider contact in the CCP told him that back then in 2017, Xi Jinping was very optimistic. He believed the American problem, meaning replacing America as the world's superpower, would be resolved in the next 10 years. And according to law professor, Xi Jinping's communist instincts drove him to immediately cash in on China's economic strengths by establishing the Belt and Road Initiative. You may have already heard about this foreign policy program. Under the disguise of infrastructure development, China has invested over $1 trillion. It's a geopolitical platform to snatch up natural resources from other countries, including critical minerals for chip production and use of other countries' ports for civil and military purposes. Under this context, with this backdrop, Xi's hallmark political slogan is realizing the great rejuvenation of the Chinese nation. And so in his storybook, such a victory does not come without setbacks, obstacles, and an enemy. His story began with China's decline 200 years ago, and the West is blamed for that. Century of humiliation, we just talked about. Now, last year, Xi Jinping talked about taking back Hong Kong and Macau from the United Kingdom and Portugal were washing off the humiliation of a century. But that wash off would not be complete without taking over Taiwan. So in that context, it really makes the United States as the top enemy in the CCP's narrative, because the United States is Taiwan's protector. The USA is the leader of the world order. And so America poses the single largest roadblock in Xi's and the regime's plans. Now, the CCP is facing another new problem. It has used China's decades of economic growth to justify its rule, to tell the Chinese people, hey, I know I'm not perfect. Let me rule you because I brought you prosperity. However, Xi's draconian COVID-19 lockdown exacerbated long-running problems in the artificially boomed, supply-driven, debt-fueled economy. After the lockdown was lifted, the plunging property market and cash-strapped local governments led the economy to stagnation. So now, when the economy is not growing, what else? Instigating resentment against an external enemy. That's a common tactic for communist parties. And therefore, United States becomes the perfect target, because the CCP can then say it in its propaganda and tout its efforts to push back against this foreign enemy and justify the rule. You're listening to China Watch. If you like this episode, please help us spread the word. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, our Epoch Times website. Check out the show notes for more details about this episode. Okay, now let's talk about how the fentanyl issue is going to become the defining issue in U.S.-China relations. Let's take a listen about what Trump said about this issue.
It comes through the southern border. Most of it is fentanyl coming in from China. And, you know, it's very interesting. China, when I was with President Xi, I had a deal worked out with him that they were going to give their maximum punishment, which is the death penalty, to anybody making fentanyl and sending it into the United States.
He frequently mentioned that Xi Jinping promised him that China would punish fentanyl manufacturers with death penalties. Apparently, that didn't happen because if it happened, then the fentanyl precursor issue in China would have gone way down. Because think about how much the CCP survey its own people, the omnipresent surveillance. They can crack down on any group in China. The information, people have no privacy, cameras, security cameras everywhere. And so if Xi Jinping has had his heart set on cracking down fentanyl issue in China, he would have delivered a long time ago. And if we look at the timeline, a year after Xi took over China in 2013, that's when the death toll of fentanyl overdoses in the United States really took off. And in 2017, it reached the first high point of 28,000 deaths in 2017. So why doesn't Xi Jinping do it then? It's easy. The CCP already has that national apparatus. It comes handy. And right now, in the trade talks, Xi and Chinese Communist Party don't seem to have anything to offer to Trump that is significant enough for Trump to scale back the tariffs. Now, China's economy is much weaker than Trump's first term. Exports has remained to be one of the few shining points of Chinese economy now. Yes, Xi Jinping had this Made in China 2025 industrial policy, but China has not successfully transitioned from the world's factory of cheap t-shirts to the world's factory of advanced chips. So China needs to rely on exports. All the overcapacity, where does that go? They need to find foreign buyers. But why doesn't China do so? Because they're emotionally deeply invested in taking revenge on America, replacing America as the world's superpower. So they're not going to make that concession. We have heard that they thought about different things to negotiate with Trump. For example, adopt a quota in exports. For example, try to use the Panama Canal deal or maybe potentially the TikTok to negotiate with Trump. But Trump is very serious on the fentanyl issue. His messenger, Senator Steve Daines of Montana, just visited Beijing, and he conveyed Trump's message about no trade talks, tariffs or non-tariff barriers until the fentanyl precursor issue is resolved. But I don't think that the CCP realized the importance of fentanyl issue to Trump and Americans, because in CCP's mind, people's lives worth nothing. Mao Zedong has openly talked about a victory of one battle may take 10,000 lives, so what? And tons of Chinese died back then in the Korean War, so what? It doesn't matter. China has a lot of people to supply for death. And Joseph Stalin has said that one person's death may be tragedy, but a million deaths is just a number. That's the Communist Party's approach. Hence, they cannot understand why the fentanyl issue is so important. In their mind, they think other people, other governments will think like them too, and therefore they don't take the fentanyl issue seriously enough. Now, what would that lead to? Because we know that within the Republican Party, there are two camps. One camp is like the likes of Mike Gallagher, Matt Pottinger. They talk about the nature of the CCP. They talk about that America needs to have an end game with the CCP by defeating the CCP. There's another camp in which Trump is in, which is about, I don't care about the CCP. I don't care about the evil nature. All I care about is that America is not hurt. So I don't think right now China is in Trump's end game. His end game is make America great again. But if he realized that on the fentanyl issue, and if he has the realization that, oh, wait a second, the CCP really wants us dead, then he's going to change his view on the CCP. The CCP is no longer a party for negotiation. If CCP views the U.S. as the enemy, if the CCP's dream and end goal is to bring down the USA, then it might lead Trump to think again what CCP is. It may draw him into the other camp about caring about the nature of the CCP. But we'll see about it. And there's no question that the fentanyl issue is going to be the defining issue in the U.S.-China relations. Thank you for staying with us. If you like this episode, remember, help us spread the word. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, on our Epoch Times website. Check out the show notes for more details about this episode. It's going to be a weekly production. We're going to release a new episode every Tuesday early morning. So come back and listen to us again next Tuesday. It's a date. Till next time.